Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, April 20th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well. And we know the Yankees are doing well because they just swept the Kansas City Royals. That's right, chat. I am celebrating this like it is the World Series because the Bronx Bombers are back. But no, for real, we are going to be enjoying the good vibes today because, well, yes, is celebrating a sweep over the Kansas City Royals, like, sad? Who cares? What if we didn't sweep them? What if we only took 2 out of 3? What if we got swept? Then it'd be like, Yankees can't be good teams or bad teams. Well, the Royals are a bad team. We took care of business. And the most satisfying and thing that has me the most enthusiastic about this series is the Bronx Bombers in particular being back. Home runs. Home runs are very important, as are fundamentals, as are, you know, situational hitting. There's so many facets of the game that are important that you can't take out and remove. And home runs are one of them. Especially when we're talking the New York Yankees, we got to hit the long ball. And we did this weekend, and it's very encouraging, as is a 3-game sweep. And with that 3-game sweep, we are back in sole possession of first place in the American League East. 13-9 record with the Rays right behind us at 12-9. They're a half game back. Now, obviously, very early you're talking games back, but it is important to still note the Blue Jays remain well under 500 at 8-13. They're 4.5 games back, as are the Boston Red Sox, who will be going to Fenway on Tuesday to begin a 3-game set. It's the start of a long road trip for the Yankees. 9 games, 3 against Boston, 3 against Houston, and then we wrap it up in Texas. But we have an off day today, so we're going to enjoy it. Keep the vibes high, as they should be. I mean, listen, what does a sweep mean to the Kansas City Royals? We'll talk about that. But at the very least, you start mounting some wins here. In a 13-9 record, given where we were just a few days ago, coming off the split against Anaheim, we were 10-9, now we're 13-9. Before you know it, you start second wins, you get to 18-11, and then 24-12, 27-10. Like, you want to stack wins. So that is not insignificant whatsoever what we did against the Kansas City Royals. We'll get into the specifics of that in just a moment. But yeah, off day today and then Boston tomorrow. I get geared up for Red Sox series. Obviously, we all do. But, you know, when I was first coming up as a Yankee fan, is what I was about to say. You know, like the Yankee Red Sox rivalry was a thing. My first year was 2011, and you know, you still had David Ortiz, you still had the main core of that Yankee team. So what remained from the rivalry previously got me hyped. But as the years went on, you know, into like the mid-2010s, there was really nothing doing. And then I remember 2017 when the Yankees, that team of course, came on and started to do some things, and the Red Sox were really good too. That's who we were fighting in the division. I remember before every series we played Boston, I would watch Rivalry Renewed on YouTube, and I'll probably do it before tomorrow. It's documentary that just goes over like the 2003 rivalry. It's before the 2004 ALCS, but even that, I'll watch stuff on that too. I love everything to do with the rivalry, and honestly, I was rooting for Boston to play well against Detroit for that reason. I want Boston to be in it. I want them to be doing, not well, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I want the rivalry to have as much juice as possible, and part of the reason I bring that up is we're going to have another Morning Yankee show tomorrow morning. And we got some things to discuss. We'll preview Boston more so then on Tuesday. But we're going to talk a lot of Cam Schlittler come Tuesday morning show. Trust me. But anyways, geared up for that series. But for now, while we're here on this off day, let's go through everything that took place yesterday. And yeah, we got to start out with the power that we saw this weekend, because that's a very encouraging sign and something that, you know, we talked about with this offense that had been struggling, and a big part of that was the bottom third of the order, but we know the bottom third of the order is the least strong part of this team, along with the bullpen. I'd say it goes bullpen one, and then number two is the bottom third of the order. Well, a lot of the panic that was coming early on, a few days ago, was in large part because, listen, guys that are supposed to hit weren't hitting. Judge had a really good homestand in these seven games against the Angels and the Royals. He hit 5 home runs. He seems to be getting back on track. But, well, even guys like Giancarlo Stanton, who's now, you know, into a little Stanton cold spell, that's fine. He was hitting well, but he wasn't hitting for power. Judge was hitting for some power, but not enough power. Ben Rice, we knew what we were getting from. But 1 through 9, all in all, the Yankees were not hitting home runs. And if we want to win games, this is a tale as old as time. We're the Bronx Bombers. We got to hit the long ball. And that's what they did this weekend. I think we definitely got to start out and give just a little bit of credit, because this was an awesome moment. We were live on the stream for it. But, you know, home runs are the most efficient way of getting offense. They're also a very efficient way of breaking out of a slump. And this remains to be seen if this actually helps McMahon going forward. But at the very least, this had to feel good for him. It felt good for us. This is from Friday night. McMahon, go-ahead home run in the eighth inning.
Overhaul, and you just got to tinker with things until something works.
Deep to left field. Marte back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya! A two-run home run for McMahon. Oh, did he need that?
Probably six out of the seven innings I was in there taking swings. Look, man, like, you want to play good, and you want to play good for the men in the room with you. Like, it doesn't feel good letting your brothers down, especially the guys you grind with every single day. So, I've been sick and tired of it, honestly.
All right, so, yeah, we'll see what remains or what happens to be the case going forward with Ryan McMahon. Now, we'll get into some lineup talk for topic two when we discuss the possibility of Ben Rice staying at leadoff. Rosario is still going to get a lot of time, obviously, but we knew McMahon was going to get some time, whether it be majority times when Fried is starting on the bump. You'll want McMahon starting at third base. We'll, of course, still see McMahon, and on days where Rosario starts, which could still be more often than not, McMahon will come in for defense, which he can play that role and play it well. It's tough thinking about that because, you know, he is making how much? $16 million per year this year and next, which is quite a steep amount, but he's on the team, and I like that interview. That's why I included it, where you could see he was sick of it. He said it himself, like, frankly, I was sick of it. You want to play well, which obviously we all know, but it's a cool moment. You'll see this happen every couple years where, you know, whether it be in the case of McMahon or a couple years back, players at Yankee fans, well, the moment of the homer doesn't, like, exonerate them from the way they feel entirely. Like Aaron Hicks in 2022, not to say this is at the level of the Houston home run, but that was like, all right, you've been terrible this year, but that moment was awesome, clean slate, let's go. Or even like a moment with Joey Gallo against the Mariners in 2021 when he hit a go-ahead home run. It remains to be seen how this will all work out with McMahon, but at the very least, this was an awesome moment, and it was a big home run. Camilo Duvall had just been terrible again. Not even terrible. I mean, he looked okay, but he gave the game-tying home run. It was very, very frustrating. I've been a supporter of Camilo Duvall. Will still be a supporter of Camilo Duvall. He needs to be better, though. And fortunately, McMahon bailed him out on Friday, and that was a series-opening victory. And from there, the Yankees just cruised. They went on to hit 9 home runs in total in the series, including McMahon. You had 3 from Ben Rice, 2 from Cody Bellinger. Judge hit one on Sunday. Trent Grisham also went deep. Admin Rosario, as you're seeing on the screen here, that home run was awesome. 9 home runs the Yankees hit in their sweep over Kansas City. And we'll talk more about Judge, or particularly Ben Rice, in the next topic. But just a quick note on those two, Judge and Rice. Judge has 9, Rice has 8. The most home runs between any two players on any team this year with 18. Judge and Rice, 9 for Judge, 8 for Rice. Power is very important. And listen, I understand the conversation of, well, the Yankees in the postseason are home run or nothing. That's a valid concern, but I'm not just being a show when I say I think this Yankee team is different. What I think is this: we need home runs. We can't not hit home runs, but you also can't not have proper fundamentals. You can't also not have good pitching. You can't have not having good defense. You also need speed. But this Yankee team, it may not feel like it, but do you guys, they're second in stolen bases in all of baseball. They have, what is the number on here? I believe, where's my thing? Here we go. Yankee team stats, I just pulled up for those on audio only. And the reason I bring this up is particularly to highlight the stolen bases. Their 27 stolen bases as a team is second in all of baseball. This team has speed. So, and we'll get into more of those other stats later on. But with the team as a whole compared to years past and the narrative of home run or nothing, this is not the 2021 Yankees. This is not teams of previous years. And that's one of the benefits of years gone on or just running it back, whatever it may be. Believe it or not, the Yankees can learn their lesson. They can know having a lineup full of right-handed hitters is overkill. That's not the way to go. You can learn from that. You can learn from not having enough speed. You can learn from not having proper fundamentals. You can understand where you went wrong and change your approach in the future. It's a tale as old as time. Like, you know, you let your 5-year-old kid touch the hot stove so he learns not to do it again. There's very much a world here, and I think we're living in it, where the Yankees know where they went wrong in the past, and now they, as we always talk about, not going all in on this way, not all in on because they were home run or nothing in the previous years. Now you got to be completely contact-oriented. No, there's a middle ground to it all. And the way I see it with this team is, and this is really any team, but it applies to us right now. Guys, here's how we're going to win. Here is how we are going to win. Elite pitching, good defense, which, believe it or not, think about it. I mean, it's a series against the Royals. The Yankees have been playing some pretty fundamentally sound baseball. Now, there's some hiccups here and there. That'll happen to every team, and we'll keep our eye on it. But fundamentals have been there. This defense has been shored up. We're far removed from where we used to be. So anyways, elite pitching. We certainly have the potential to do that. Good defense. Been pretty promising so far. Speed. As I mentioned, we're second in all baseball as a team in stolen bases. You have Caballero. You have Jazz. You have a lot of athleticism on the base paths. And then also, of course, power. All of these things are part of the formula, particularly with emphasis on the power in regards to who we are. We're the New York Yankees. Again, this is, we're the Bronx Bombers for a reason. We have to hit home runs. And if we hit home runs, we're going to win games. So while, yes, the home run or nothing, I'm not going to pretend that's not a fair thought to have. But this is not the same old thing where when we don't hit the home run, we're incapable of scoring. Now, we have seen some of that early on this year, but that's also just because, in general, guys aren't hitting. When Judge doesn't go deep, he's capable of still getting on base, hitting a double, moving a runner over. Same with Ben Rice, getting on base. Cody Bellinger's a very good situational hitter. We need it all, and this Yankee team is capable of doing it all. So just on the note of the power returning this year, or not this year, this series, that is far and above the excitement over just a three-game sweep of the Royals. That is not insignificant whatsoever. But I want to say one more thing, too. It's not just a matter of we swept the Royals, they're ass. Maybe they will be ass, but I know who's not ass. Noah Cameron was great last year. Cole Reagans at one point was looked at as one of the best up-and-coming lefties in the game. And we talked about on Friday's show, talking about some of the specific offensive concerns, and one of the things was the Yankees aren't hitting left-handed pitching. Last year, they led the majors in OPS against left-handers. Entering the weekend against Kansas City, they're 535 OPS. They had a 530 OPS. Let me try that again. They had a 535 OPS versus lefties entering the weekend as a team. That was third worst in the major leagues. Well, they ended up scoring 14 runs off Noah Cameron and Cole Reagans, two lefties that are not scrubs. Maybe they will end up being looked at as that now, like going forward. I'm not sure what their season will look like. But Noah Cameron and Cole Reagans are two legitimate lefties in baseball. And the Yankees took it to them. I mean, it was a, not game one, but Saturday and Sunday was, that was a vintage old Bronx Bombers. And I was getting so hyped. I wish we were live for it. I had to go home. But yeah, man, it was like, I was like stimming to my dad. So when Judge hit the home run, I'm like, man, like everybody wants the bun. Everybody wants the stolen base, which we can do that too. But man, you blink and it's 2-0. Just like that. It is the most efficient way of scoring runs. And it's like not a reminder of why I love the Yankees. I love the Yankees when they're not hitting home runs. I love the Yankees when they're not doing jack shit. I love the Yankees when they're playing like the worst team in baseball. I love them no matter what. But it's like, yes, this is the Bronx Bombers. Home runs. Bam. Snap your fingers. 2-0 lead. And there you go. One thing that is so important, which just always remains the case, but like going into October, I'm really going to put an emphasis on it from a viewing perspective. I wish I could pass this message along, but they obviously know this too. We got to score early. This is a, in the entire Judge era, this is a different team when we score early, get out of the gate, and put a two-run homer up in the first, like Judge did the other day. Anyways, the power, at least for this weekend, is back. We need to continue to be back. Home runs are a very important part of our game, as are the other stuff. Pitching, defense, speed, and we kind of have those things. Anyways, speaking of power, we got to get into the specific side of these conversations, which is about Ben Rice, who he had himself a series. Three home runs, four Rice, and Sunday he led off, and on multiple levels it worked out for the Yankees. Let's talk a little Ben Rice.
That one is driven deep to right field. See ya! Another home run for Ben Rice, his eighth of the year, and the Yankees lead 4-0.
Just how didn't you feel at the plate right now?
I feel like, you know, in a good spot, feeling good, and you know, I just got to keep getting good pitches to hit and hopefully capitalize on them.
You've been swinging the bat well all season long. Just what does it mean for you to contribute on a daily basis?
Feels good, and it feels even better when we're winning. So to come out here and get a sweep going into the next road trip is big time.
All right, so that's Ben Rice yesterday. Again, three home runs hit in the series, including his eighth homer of the year on Sunday. Now, he also had to get on before Judge. Did he walk? I believe he walked, yes. Anyways, first inning, Judge is that two-run shot. We'll hear from Judge in just a moment. But we're really going to talk the leadoff conversation here because he led off yesterday, had a homer. Now has 8 homers. As we mentioned, him and Judge, 17 combined. That's the most of any two teammates in baseball on a team. And you see the stats right here. Rice hitting .338, OBP of .476, 800 slugging percentage, WRC plus, at least as of this morning when I last updated it, .246. And if you're listening on audio, we have these numbers highlighted because they lead the American League. There's a couple different angles I want to take with this conversation, but we got to keep it at leadoff for now because, yeah, he led off, which is something we've seen him do in the past. He did it, I think, a few times last year, and Sunday he did it for the first time this year. Is this something the Yankees should keep on doing? Now, at the very least, you guys know, I think, not anything, this is pretty set in stone to me, and I'd be shocked if it's not put into place. At the very least, he needs to be hitting third. Now, Bellinger had a good series, and Bellinger's numbers have climbed back up to, he's in a good spot. Bellinger's above an 800 OPS now. He's playing well. He's getting on base at a better clip than he did last year. Not that that was an issue last year. He was in like the 330s, but there was room for improvement, and he's so far getting on base more. Ben Rice should be batting third. With if you were to do that, then you can do Stanton 4 or even Bellinger 4. But at the very least, Rice should be hitting ahead of Bellinger and either right behind Judge or right in front of Judge. Now, Sunday's lineup was a little bit funky because you had Stanton getting the day off. You had Jazzism Jr. getting the day off. So it wasn't like the go-to 1-9. But I have a lineup written out, which it's not specific to me. I mean, this is a thing where you write it out, and we're going to pose this question after we play this soundbite from Judge because I want to hear Judge's thoughts on it. But the idea of Rice leading off, let's play this Judge soundbite because I want to give his home run some love, and then he was asked about Rice leading off, and then we'll get to the lineup that I have proposed if this goes down.
Aaron Judge swings at the first pitch, lofts it deep to center field, going back Thomas, on the track, at the wall, see ya, into Monument Park, his 9th home run of the year, another first inning blast.
With him leading off and you batting second, what type of a headache do you think that could be potentially for opposing pitchers moving forward?
Ooh, I know he's going to be on base a lot, so it's going to make my job easier to try to get him in scoring position or drive him in like we did in the first. So what Benny's done so far this year and will continue to do is just, he's top of the league right now.
All right, one more soundbite. Here's Rice again. This was a specific question about whether or not he likes leading off.
What's leading off like for you? You did it a good amount last year.
Yeah, I like leading off. Something, you know, I'm comfortable with. I've done it before, like you said. So, you know, I like it.
So, if we were to go with the Yankees 1-9 on a regular basis, talking Stanton in there and Jazz in there, here is what the Yankees lineup would look like 1-9 if you lead off Ben Rice. Now, quick caveat, this is with Amed Rosario starting at third base. We don't know if that'll be the case every single day. No, it won't be the case every single day, but I have this under the assumption you got Rosario starting at third base. And look at the balance of this lineup, which is just a little added cherry on top. Let's read through it for those on audio. Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Grisham, Rosario, Jazz, Caballero, Wells. This is my favorite 1-9, my favorite orientation, structure, the Yankees lineup, whatever way you want to phrase it, that we could possibly put together right now. And again, the balance is an added cherry on top, but for those on audio that don't see the graphic and you got to play it through in your head, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty. Beautiful. Now, the best part about this, and it feels very Ohtani-esque, the idea of Rice leading off. No matter what, you have to get him either directly in front of Judge or right behind Judge. So no matter what, even if you keep Grisham at leadoff, Rice should be batting third. But in the case of this, you would start every single game against a right-hander. Against lefties, you probably still, you know, you can lead off. You could lead off Judge, to be honest, if you wanted to against a lefty. But this is mostly talking against right-handed pitching. Rice and then Judge. I had a tweet yesterday which was like, not shilling, but I knew when I wrote this out that like there was an argument against it, but I don't know if it's that crazy. What I said was the Yankees might have the best, well, we know they're the best right-handed hitter in the American League, all of baseball and Judge. They also have the best left-handed hitter as well in Ben Rice. People push back, and rightfully so, saying Yordan is better, and because of status, because of length in the game, like, yes, I will give it to Yordan Alvarez, and sure, he probably is better, but what we're seeing right now out of Ben Rice, of course, it remains to be seen what he's going to be the rest of the year, but forget my opinion. I believe in Ben Rice. I think you at home watching believe in Ben Rice. The Yankees believe in Ben Rice. Baseball believes in Ben Rice. What he's doing is legit. At the very least, he is the second best hitter on the Yankees team. So from that alone, forget best right-handed hitter in the AL, which is true and definite and known in baseball and Judge. Possibly the best left-handed hitter in the AL come season's end. We'll see. Regardless, your two best hitters on the team are Judge and then Rice. This is the way to go. This is the way you start off a game when you're an opposing pitcher and you have to face this right out of the gate in Rice, in Judge. You give them something to hit, there's a good chance early they're going to do damage. We talked earlier about the importance of the Yankees getting on the board early. It makes a game feel, for anybody, but for us, feel entirely different. And if you pitch around them and you want to put them on base, that's no problem. If you got Cody Bellinger hitting third, he's one of our best guys at hitting with runners in scoring position. So Rice 1, Judge 2, Bellinger 3, and then you got Stanton. An interesting note of this, and I don't love this per se, because Grisham, I think, is not a perfect leadoff hitter, but like he does get on base, and for who he is, which is, in my opinion, a pretty underrated Yankee right now. Leadoff's not perfect, but like neither is him in the fifth spot unless he really starts hitting for power again, which we did see him hit his third home of the year on Sunday, a three-run shot. This lineup with Rice leading off would drop Grisham down to fifth. And in the meantime, I'm cool with it, but it's kind of like, all right, you're not leading him off, where do you put him? All right, you put him fifth, and that's fine. Which, whether he, I mean, he'll still keep walking. He'll have a great eye no matter where he's at. That can kind of like reset the table for Rosario and then Jazz, which that's another thing this lineup I really, really like. We've talked about this a lot on here for many years, really. And this is when Jazz is going well, when he's not going well. I love the look of the lineup when you have Jazz in the bottom third. When Jazz is hitting seventh compared to hitting sixth, I think just like, I don't know, aesthetically, the way it looks, it's just so much, it makes the lineup feel so much deeper. And yo, shout out Rosario, who in this case I have batting sixth. He is continuing to hit, and his defense continues to surprise me at third base. I think he's looked really good with the glove over at third. But anyways, offensively, his OPS is above 800. He continues to hit the ball really, really well. Had hit his third homer of the year on Saturday. The balance, the immediate threat right out of the gate, and that's the main thing here. Rice, Judge, the fact of they get more at-bats. The lineup turns over to late in the game, not first AB being Grisham. And even though I'm a supporter of Grisham, who would rather have up in a big spot? Granted, he's very clutch, but Grisham or Ben Rice and then Aaron Judge. It's no contest. Your most lethal hitters, as often as possible, as soon as possible, this is the way to go. And it's one of those things where I kind of knew going into this, like I jot down notes in my little Google Doc, and I knew going into this, like, yeah, I probably like this lineup. Like, this is, I'm going to enjoy this. As I type it out, I'm like, yep, this is, I really wrote my thing. I'm like, yeah, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. Now, if you disagree with this, by all means, let me know. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. But, yeah, again, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Grisham, Rosario, Jazz, Caballero, Wells. It feels very, with Rice at the top, it feels very Ohtani-esque. This is what the Dodgers do with Shohei. And if we believe this is who Ben Rice truly is, and I certainly do, there's not much of an argument against it besides old school baseball. But heck, even if that's your argument, which, fair enough, who's your prototypical leadoff hitter in that regard right now? There's really nobody. So I think this is a no-brainer. I really, really do. And I hope the Yankees do it on a consistent basis. And again, I really like the idea of Jazz down to seventh. And the overall lineup, just 1 through 9, looks so much deeper, more balanced. This is the way to go. Now, one more thing I want to take this, just kind of like to pose a question, but you know, I jokingly tweeted this out yesterday too. Is Ben Rice, like, right now clearly headed for an MVP2 in the American League? Which, of course, for those who don't know what I mean by that, means finishing second place in American League MVP voting, because you still figure Judge is going to win it. Rice, his stats are, you know, better than Judge's right now, but long term, I mean, I would rather die betting, knowing that I assume Judge is going to win MVP. That's probably what will end up happening. With that said, though, let's say that is a case. Ben Rice right now is looking like a player that is going to get MVP votes. I know it's very, very, very early, but it's not just about the stats. It's not just that what he's done so far. It's who we think Ben Rice can be. This is a conversation that we could have had some fun with going into the year, and now we're seeing results that are almost higher than what we could have anticipated out of Rice. He had a really, really good year last year, but the metrics suggested he could be elite. Well, it's panning out that way. So far, he's been beyond elite, and this is legit. Homegrown, lefty hitting, first baseman, the high socks, well-spoken, a great dude. Like, this is just, this is something to be very, very excited about, and not just because we have another threat in the lineup, one of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, this is just awesome. This is, I want to make sure I can be concise in what I'm saying here without just gassing him up for, you know, whatever. But homegrown, crushes the ball, great dude, like true power threat from the left side, compliments Judge so well. You have Rice and you have Judge. Like, this is really, really, really encouraging stuff going on right now with Ben Rice. And I think the Yankees should keep him at leadoff. And I also think he's going to get MVP votes. But let me know what you guys think about that. Should he remain at leadoff? Do you think it's a possibility he's going to get MVP votes, possibly finish right behind Judge? Or do you maybe think he's going to win? I mean, that's not a crazy thing to say. Anyways, if you could drop a like on the video, by the way, if you're watching live, that does help out a great deal. Also, add some hype points to it, too. That's a big thing on YouTube these days. The little hype section. Anyways, let's move on to our third topic. We got to talk, spoiler alert, this is about Will Warren. I have it titled as A Yankee Who Is Now Underrated, and it's sort of a question, but I think as fans, you know, obviously we give a lot of love to Cam Schlittler, and rightfully so, and the Yankees pitching department as a whole is really on the come up right now, and that's going to play a role in the topic coming up next. But listen, the Yankees have become a pitching factory. They are developing pitching, I want to say, like no other. I don't want to talk out of tune. You know, I know this organization more than I know other organizations, but the Yankees really do seem to be at the forefront of developing pitching these days, which is, you know, far removed from where we used to be early on in like the 2000s and like early 2010s. The Yankees really had a notable reputation of a lack of being able to develop pitching. Not the case anymore. And we got to talk about Will Warren, who was terrific this weekend against the Royals. And so far this year, he is really taking a step forward. Now, his ERA is, let's see, what's his ERA again? ERA is 2.49 through five starts so far this year. Now, he did have that weird outing against the Angels where he gave up four runs. None of them were earned, though, because of the error on Caballero. I still, like, I don't think those runs should have been earned, but it's not ever an excuse for me where, you know, your fielder makes an error and then you can just turn into a meatball afterwards. Like, no, like, pick him up. You got a job to do. Like, that's how this all works. Not going at Will here, but, like, that's just something I feel in general with pitchers. I hate when guy makes an error and you'll see, like, the pitcher, like, drop his shoulders and look all defeated. It's like, we don't need to beg for outs here. Like, not that your players should make errors, but I feel similar when, like, a pitcher would hang his shoulders all sad after a call doesn't go his way. It's like, yo, Clark used to always do this. Like, Clark, you're good enough. Go get the next strike. You don't need to beg for strikes. You don't need everything to go perfectly. You're good enough to pick your fielder up after an error. You're good enough to bounce back and take care of business. Anyways, we saw Cam do it after the Grisham error the other day. Anyways, that was kind of a weird start for Warren. None of those runs were earned. Anyways, though, the stuff has looked terrific. And there's some things here that are really of note compared to last year, which was a good, solid rookie year for him. Made the 33 starts, ERA like mid-4, some clunkers, but for the most part, you felt good about Warren giving you a chance to win. Well, so far this year, we mentioned the ERA, 2.49 ERA and 5 starts. Well, there's a couple big differences from last year to this. So last year in 2025, he was not walking batters at like an alarming rate per se, but his command has improved so far this year. Last year, his walks per nine was 3.6. He averaged 3.6 walks per nine in 2025. So far this year, that number is down to 2.13. Walks have been significantly reduced for Will Warren so far this year. Another interesting stat, this one possibly the most interesting of them all, though I got one more for you afterwards. Last year, 42.1% ground ball rate, which is like fine. I mean, that's like a respectable number, but not like, that doesn't make you a ground ball pitcher. I mean, that's like, all right, you can get some ground balls, but you're not a ground ball pitcher. Well, now, so far this year, Warren's at a 50.7 ground ball rate in 2026. So, like, just about an 8% jump year over year. And that number of 50%, that's kind of the line of demarcation to where whether somebody's a ground ball pitcher or not. And for those who don't know, getting ground balls, that's what you want. It is, outside of strikeouts, like, the most effective way of being a consistent and good pitcher. Not letting the ball go in the air, keep it on the ground, less damage is done. Warren is significantly getting more ground balls so far this year. And I'd say this is the most interesting stat about his season. We knew going into the year that he's struggling massively against left-handed hitters. And, you know, some numbers on that. Last year, righties hit .232 against Will Warren. So far this year, righties are hitting .227. So that remains the case. Righties aren't hitting him well. Last year, however, lefties, we know, hit him very well. They hit .266 against Warren in 2025. Well, this year, they're hitting just .222. He has improved significantly against left-handed hitters. So between improved command, more ground balls, success against lefties, this 2.49 ERA is not an aberration, not a mirage. I mean, we'll see what the number is come year's end. I'm not saying we'll stick to this exact level the entire year, but the point is, the Yankees have a lot of W's coming out of their pitching department right now, and Cam Schiller's at the forefront of that. Their prospects, there's a lot to be celebrated here. A lot. We cannot forget about Will Warren, because this is legit now, man. It really, really is. And, you know, we talk a lot about, like, as a fan base, the conversation of once Colin Rodon come back, what happens? Well, I don't look at it as a situation where, all right, once they come back, that means, well, no, it does mean, like, Warren and Weathers / like Luis Heel would go to the bullpen. We can have that conversation. And, like, sure, like, Warren deserves to stay more than Heel does. But then you get into the conversation, like, how does this pitcher's stuff translate to the bullpen compared to just staying in the rotation? That's really neither here nor there for me, because, like, I don't worry about that. Everything I think about in regards to that is the postseason. And the postseason, you have a four-man staff. And that four-man staff, knock on wood, barring any, you know, injury setbacks, whatever it may be, will indeed be, I want to keep Fried number one, and then I go Cole two, Rodon three to split up the lefties. But Fried, Cole, Rodon, Cam. That is your four-man staff in October. So that's what I think about. So no matter what, we're talking, in all likelihood, Warren's going to the bullpen. Weathers is going to the bullpen, which Weathers, by the way, he was terrific on Sunday. Got his first Yankee win, 7 shutout. He has a 3.18 ERA through 5 starts now this season. But the October rotation, it's a four-man staff. So you're going to go Fried, Cole, Rodon, Cam, or some sort of that order, whatever. That's what I think about. I don't really think about, all right, at some point, Warren will go to the bullpen in the regular season, which you'd want to do if come October that's the case. You want to have him, you know, get used to that role and adjust. But that's a conversation a lot of people have. I don't worry about that for right now. But all it means is the Yankees have a lot of depth pitching-wise, and at some point, they're going to have like a, you know, it's a good conversation to have, because, again, it just comes from depth. And, like, the Yankees, we'll be talking about this with when they eventually call up, like, LeGrande. I mean, he might look so good out of the bullpen that we want to keep him there forever. Like, Will Warren, not that that'll be the case with him, but he was great the other day, but, like, his bad start against the Angels, where he had the 4 unearned runs, it's like, you see him look so great and the stuff looks so elite for a few innings. And, like, how could you not just ponder the idea of him out of the bullpen? I'm not looking to put him in the bullpen, but, you know, at some point that opportunity is going to come. Like, that lane is going to exist where, yo, we need bullpen help. We have the ability to use you as bullpen help. How's this going to look? I think it'll look pretty damn good. But in the meantime, Will Warren is one of the better middle to back end starters really going in baseball right now. I mean, he has a 2.49 ERA through 5 starts. And all the results that we're seeing are very much real. Like, it's coming from, yes, improved command, coming from the ground ball rate, the improvement against lefties. And speaking of the improved command, I mean, he is just throwing strikes. What was the stat we saw the other day? It was, like, leads baseball in, like, called strike threes since, like, middle of last year. It's pretty impressive stuff. And, yeah, like, not in, like, a hot takeaway, oh, Yankee, that's not underrated. I'm saying, like, within us as a fan base. Like, I don't really care about, I don't care about the rest of baseball, but, like, I'm just talking about, like, as us as a fan base, like, I don't appreciate Will Warren enough. Now, I think sometimes people can also be a little too hard on him. Like every time he pitches well, they're like, Warren, are you good or not? It's like, Will Warren's good. Like, until further notice, like, I am considering Will Warren to not be great, not to be elite like Cam, although if he keeps up a 2.49 ERA, that's a different story. But when Will Warren takes the ball, I figure we're going to get 5 innings, 2 runs, floor. Doesn't mean that will be the floor, but that's my vibe going into the start, with the upside of, yeah, 7 shuts, 7 innings, 2 runs. Like, it's exciting stuff, man. It really, really is. Now, Ryan Weathers was terrific yesterday. Shout out to him. We'll probably talk a little bit more about him later on. We'll also talk more about Cam Schlittler on, that we'll do tomorrow, because we have a lot to talk about with him in Boston. But Cam was really good on Friday. And he also dealt with some trouble too, like the Grisham error, and he worked around that. And, you know, he had his, like, psycho killer Cam look on, which was awesome. Cam's great. We'll talk more about him on Tuesday. Again, we'll be live Tuesday morning to more so do a preview of the Boston series. But, yeah, shout out Will Warren. He was terrific. Anyways, I want to talk about this. So this topic I have labeled as why this team can win it all. And it's quite simple. I think our floor, to discuss that first, what I think is our floor is a competitor, a team that is good in comparison to the rest of the American League. We talked about last week how we don't got to compare ourselves to the 1998 Yankees or the teams of that dynasty or teams in the 1920s, whatever it may be. Like, those aren't the teams we're competing with. We're competing against the American League. And the American League is pretty damn thin right now. And even just us at a base level, us at our floor, is a team that, relatively speaking, is good. Because when you compare them to the rest of the league, we're better than those teams. But that's not what this is about. The reason when I say I believe in this team, or after a couple of rough losses, which, you know, these people are all gone now, and I'm sure they'll pop back out when, you know, rough loss happens again. When they say, like, Dan, how do you believe in this team? Like, you still believe in this team? They get snotty about it, which just bothers me. It's like, you know, when they're winning, when they're going great, it's like, let's go Yanks, blah, 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 are we back? And then they have a couple of losses, and like they're like, Dan, you still believe in this team? This team's still good, right? I'm like, yes, yes, I do believe so. But here's why. We just discussed everything about, you know, a lot of the good facets of this team, the potential of this lineup, at least like 1 through 6 or 1 through 7, the pitching with the possibility of it being elite, like the improved fundamentals, the defense, all this and that. It's not just about though what the team looks like right now. It's about what they can be. And when I bring up the floor, it's because this is the way I view them right now, which is they're good enough to get into the dance. Now, I'm not going to say the whole crapshoot line. That's not what this is about at all. The point is more so, I know this team, in all likelihood, knock on wood, will be in October. I think they will be in October. So with that in mind, okay, that means they're going to have a trade deadline that prepares them for a likely run in October. They're going to have Cole and Rodon coming back. I'm going to bring this home, trust me. It's that I believe in many areas of this team as it currently exists, plus reinforcements coming back. And then those reinforcements, whether it be when Cole and Rodon are back, you then have an improved bullpen and Weathers and Warren going there. Or because you have Cole and Rodon coming back, I'm not trying to trade Will Warren, but from a general perspective, this team's depth that they have in their pitching with the prospects, and sure, if you want to, you know, flirt with the idea of a Will Warren trade or like Ryan Weathers, but the idea of like a flipping around Ryan Weathers does not disgust me, to be honest. But no, like, the assets that we have to trade from is one big reason why, all right, I believe in this team right now as they're good and they're better than they've shown. And maybe this weekend was the beginning of seeing that. We'll see how they do against Boston and, you know, so on and so forth. But we have the ability to get better. The surrounding, like, supplemental existence of what we got going on here, besides just the team that we're currently watching every day, which is already pretty decent with some areas to shore up, but it's the bullpen that has to be shored up. Okay, well, no matter what, it's going to get better once Cole and Rodon are back, because then Will or Weathers are going to the pen. You have a surplus of assets to trade from and improve that bullpen, which the Yankees know, and this is another reason, the desire to win is more than ever. The Yankees have to win this year. There's an urgency to it. So like, the deals will be made. The Yankees, I think, are going to make some sort of a splash, if not multiple, at the deadline this year, and one of those will have to be a bullpen arm. Well, we got assets to trade from, whether it is the pitching prospects or dipping into the positional player side of things. Like, Spencer Jones isn't even somebody that, like, comes to my mind anymore about the idea of making a big trade, but, like, he could be, like, the B trade that we make. Like, get a reliever for that's decent for a couple years of control for Spencer Jones, like, after you've already traded Elmer Rodriguez. You don't want to trade everybody, but, like, you want to make sure you do trade some guys and get proper value and capitalize on it while you have it. The assets we have sets us up for this team to only get better. And then you think about, like, how this team is going to continue to look once, listen, I know we're not all excited about Volpe coming back, but it is very much true, as much as I love Caballero playing, and he's been hitting the ball still really well, another good series for him, and his defense is, the defense is really looking good. Volpe needs to play good D when he comes back. We'll see if Volpe can give us anything out of the bottom third of the order. Maybe he can, he's looked pretty decent down at AAA so far, he has, or AA, excuse me, in rehab, small sample size, whatever. Caballero might be better suited for this team off the bench. So if Volpe comes back, and let's say he does give you a 700 OPS, which is not asking all that much. If Volpe can give you a 700 OPS and mainly good defense, Well, this Yankee team does get better with Volpe at shortstop because then you have Cobb off the bench. You can pinch run him whenever you want. You can bring him in for defense. You can also still just play him. Say Jazz keeps struggling. All right, you could play Cobb at second base sometimes if you want to. But also, it's like this team is not set in place. It's like we have Volpe coming back. We have some reinforcements. You have Cole and Rodon coming back. You have so many assets to trade from. You have more urgency than ever to win. So those trades, you figure, will get made. And then it's like, yo, the bottom third of the order, that could be shored up as well. I'm actually starting to think, like, dude, George Lombard can play third base. He's looking terrific so far in AA. Like, there might be a world where maybe he is a factor this year. I mean, that's a little cherry on top reason, but, like, and then, by the way, if Stanton gets hurt, you have Jason ready to go at DH. Like, we're so much more than what the current team is, and the current team is already pretty good. It's like, the floor is, at the very least, going to give me decent, and when you compare it to the rest of the American League, pretty freaking good. And then everything that's else coming on top of that with, yes, the return of Cole and Rodon, the assets we have in the minor leagues to trade from, the fact that we have to win this year, and there's more, like, urgency between the fan base, and you figure because of that, therefore the front office, to finally win it all. The aging of Judge and Cole, like, this is the year to win it, and we're more set up to prepare ourselves to win it. The team right now is pretty good. They're only going to get better with the trade deadline. The American League is very thin. Get to the World Series. That's why we always talk about us compared to the rest of the league. Those are the teams we got to face to get to the World Series. Now, the Dodgers, they're a different story, but at that point, like, that's why you always hear people say, get to the World Series. Like, win the pennant. Like, we need to win the pennant, and then we go from there. Like, that is our main goal. And the sub-goals of that are win the division, win the first seed in the American League, get through the AL, and get to the World Series. And then you evaluate that like a baseball series. It's, all right, the Dodgers may be better than us, but here we go. Best of seven series, we have a chance of winning it. So we deal with that when we get there, but we have to get through the American League. And I'm telling you, this Yankees team, honestly, as currently constructed, is good enough to do that regardless. But it's only going to get better from here. Like, that's why, that's where my belief comes from. It's not just me being a blind fan. Trust me, yo. Like, I was there for 2023. Like, 2013, 2014. Like, I don't just always say, oh, this team's good. They're going to be great. Like, I didn't do that in 2023. By this point in 2023, I was already saying, yo, like, this is a problem. And then Judge got hurt and it all kind of went down from there. It's not a thing where no matter what the Yankee team looks like, I say they're World Series capable. Now, I always know things can change. Very quickly, things can change, and that's for better or for worse. I'm telling you, like, we might have already, I've already seen the worst. So, like, we'll go on another losing streak. That's just how baseball works, and I'm ready for it. I'll handle it, no problem. But this is the floor of this team right now that we're watching, and I already think that floor is one that has us better than most teams in the American League, if not all of them. But yes, so that's where all my belief comes from. It's knowing that things can get better while they're already not too bad. So, you know, just to keep it there with this team, like, one, I am a Yankee fan, so I don't really have much shame in saying, oh, I have belief they might actually win, but there's logic behind it. There's always logic behind it, and I think with this, more than any of the year previous, like, we're set up, man. We're set up, and it's not just pinstripe colored glasses or anything like that. Anyways, we'll wrap things up here. Reminder to click like on the YouTube stream if you have not already. It does help out a great deal. And again, just a little favor if you could. They had that hype button. Been reading into the YouTube algorithm a little bit. Like, that does help out a lot. So you could, like, add, like, you send, like, some hype points. It's all for free. Apparently that does a big service. Anyways, some other notes before we wrap things up here. I touched up the Morning Yankees logo a little bit to differentiate between, you know, it's very similar to my Yankees Avenue logo, and from afar you couldn't really tell what is what. I added some yellow into the Morning Yankees logo to signify the sun. Off day today, of course, and then we have Boston tomorrow. So a little programming note, I'm going to update the schedule on the main channel, the YouTube banner, which I always have the full week schedule on the main YouTube channel's banner, by the way. Anyways, we're live here today, Monday morning. Yankees are off. We'll be live tomorrow morning on Tuesday as well, doing much more of like a Boston series preview, probably such as some other like random, other non-Boston related topics as well. And then we'll be live on the main channel for every single game that series at Fenway, all three. And then Friday, we're in Houston. I'll be live for that game. I don't want to say unfortunately, but like, because he's a good friend of mine, and it's normally I hate weddings, but like in this case, it's fine. Although I don't know why they planned it during Yankees Astros, but that's whatever. I have a wedding on Saturday, so I will not be live for the final two games of the Houston series. But long story short, live this morning, live Tuesday morning, live for every game of the Boston series, live for game one of the Houston series. So That's the programming note there. Again, it'll all be on the schedule for the on the main channel's YouTube banner. But just to run through these really quick, and we'll hear from Gerrit Cole because his interview is kind of funny, and it's just good to have him back. But Volpe, 4-for-11 so far at his rehab. I've posted a couple of those clips on Yanks AF. He's looking good so far. I mean, not to make anything at all out of these results. Trust me, I'm not doing that. But I don't have the clip with me right now, but if you want to check out Yankees AF on Instagram, there's a couple clips on there of Volpe and his new swing at Double A, and it does look a lot more level. And he had a nice single off of Zach Wheeler the other day, second time facing Zach Wheeler. And just a note, like, Volpe's looking good so far at Double A. He's been doing the whole, like, spring training talk, best shape of my life, feel great, that whole thing, which, word up, you know, I'll believe in that until I don't. But in the meantime, like, his swing does look different, and that's exciting. Cole, in his first rehab start, he was very efficient. He had a pitch count of 40 pitches, and he ends up going four and a third innings pitch, allows three runs, three strikeouts at Double A, came out of it entirely healthy. We'll hear from Cole in just a moment. Some other notes, George Lombard, speaking of Zach Wheeler, he took him deep the other day. I'm posting on Yanks AF, like, look at Volpe with a single off of Zach Wheeler. Let's go. The swing looks so nice. And then, like, I find out, oh, shit, Lombard just took Zach Wheeler deep. And, of course, I didn't post that. The reason for why I didn't post it, because it's like, Lombard is still like Volpe's. Volpe's a big league level impact right now. Like, we know he's coming back, so I'll post prospect stuff like every now and then, and like I will post George Lombard. I have posted George Lombard, but the reason I was posting Volpe's swings is because it's like we'll be seeing Volpe in the big leagues in 2 weeks, so like it's more of a big league focused topic. Anyways, Lombard's hitting 365 at Double A. Some other news. Let me get this guy's exact name, but the Yankees yesterday did make a trade with Houston. Nothing crazy. It's nothing all that noteworthy, but they traded Braden Shumake, which many of you guys may know. He was a middle infielder. I believe he was on the 40-man, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, quickly on this, Yankees acquired from the Astros for Braden Shumake, Astros minor league pitcher Wilmy Sanchez. He is, let's see, how old is he? I think he's a young kid. He hasn't gotten anything too far past, like, Double A, maybe. If I can't find it, we'll just move on. This is nothing crazy, but okay, he's a 22-year-old kid, lifetime 4.61 ERA in the minors. He had some walk issues, but strikes guys out. He began the season in Double A, and he's allowed so far one run on three hits and four walks and eight strikeouts in seven innings. So just leave it there with that. But Yankees make a trade with Houston yesterday. Also, some other notes: Elmer Rodriguez, one of Yankees' top prospects. Of course, we got him for Carlos Narvaez last year. He, so far in three starts, a 1.15 ERA at AAA. He's been awesome, continues to be awesome. He was great last year, too. Spencer Jones, heating up at AAA, now has five homers, a 915 OPS at AAA. Jason continues to hit well. He's hitting 309 at AAA with an 861 OPS. And as we know, Yanks are heading to Boston for three. Before we get out of here, let's take a listen to our ace, who met with the media to discuss his day-to-day first rehab start of the year. Not much substance to this. Actually, there's a lot of substance, really, because it's Cole talking about his outing, but it's just like, it's good to hear his high-pitched voice. It's good to see him just talk, and you'll see some VO from his outing. VO means video only, by the way. Over a sound on tape, SOT, some Chris Rose terms. But here's Cole, and then we'll get out of here.
Early was just fastballs for strikes, just as many, heart of the plate, as many as we could go, just start repping that out. The second inning, I tried to kind of move it a little more, but I paid the price for that, having just not being sharp. And then after that, my fastball allocation was really high, so I came to the lineup the second time and tried some off-speed, and had a good run of lefties to work some change-ups and some curveballs for strike one, and then curveball for strike one to a right-hander. So, like,
we'll just leave it there. I love him. It's good to have him not back officially, but that's Cole, yo. That's our ace, and he should be back at some point. Still, like, he's gonna be a minute. I mean, he's gonna have to probably get at least like 4 or 5 rehab starts. So we're probably still looking at another. I mean, it's gonna be like figure still like end of May type vibes for Cole. But yeah, all went well in his rehab start. Rodon is not officially scheduled yet, but he'll be making a rehab start this week is the plan. So yeah, dude, good weekend for the Yanks, man. A sweep of the Royals. We're back in first place. That's awesome. But most exciting is the Bronx Bombers in particular are back. Having the home runs, that's how we were going to win games, yo. Home runs. Home runs are the name of the game for us. The Bronx Bombers, that's who we are for a reason. It's a tale as old as time. We need home runs. Like, we need the other stuff, too. We need good pitching. We need good defense. Good fundamentals. Speed. Well, we might have all of that, too, to be honest. So Hey, it was a good weekend. I freaking enjoyed it. And man, it's just so nice watching baseball and things are going well too. Like, no matter what, we'll be here. I ain't ever going anywhere. Like, during the bad, during the good, like, we'll be here. And, you know, we're not better than the Yankees when they're playing well, so we can't be better than the Yankees when they're not playing well. Like, we're not above them at any point. And I enjoy that. Like, I like the hard times, but I also really enjoy the good times. And this weekend was one of those good times. It was a fun time watching this team. So, 3-game sweep against the Royals, that is now in the books. Enjoy the off day. But then tomorrow we get back to it. Tuesday morning we'll be live to preview the Boston series. We got a lot to talk about with Cam Schlittler, who's apparently already getting death threats from Boston. I mean, that's crazy to me, and maybe it's being exaggerated. I don't know, but word up, to be honest. I can already imagine Cam clenching his jaw at Fenway Park out of anger and being Anakin. I might have to watch episode 3, to be honest, in anticipation for his start at Fenway Park. We'll preview Boston tomorrow morning. In the meantime, everybody have a fantastic start to your week. It is Monday, and the sun is shining. Let's go get him, Che. Let's go do it, man. Anyways, that's all I got for this one. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. And yeah, have a great Monday. In the meantime, let's go Yanks.